Now, I relate to this first topic for today. Are you feeling overwhelmed, under the pump, stressed, exhausted, and distracted? If this sounds like your life, and sometimes it sounds like mine, then chances are that you need to have a serious look at how the always-on digital world is contributing to these symptoms. So joining us on the line is wellbeing and productivity expert Dr. Christy Goodwin, who has written a book, Dear Digital, We Need to Talk. Welcome to the show, Christy. How are you today?
I'm very well, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us. I've often thought about how the digital world affects our health. Is it true that we have become both professional and personal slaves to our screens?
It is, unfortunately. A very sobering statistic to start off this morning is that Australian research tells us that the average Australian adult will spend 17 years of their lifespan on their phone. 33% of our waking hours we will dedicate just to our phones alone, let alone our laptops and computers.
So, it's a long time, isn't it?
It's huge. And I think we'd all agree technology's got its tentacles into every single part of our lives, both professionally and personally. And we feel this. Many of us are suffering from a condition called digital dementia. We just can't remember the sheer volume of information that's coming our way these days. And we often blame it on other issues like perimenopause and menopause, when the reality is we're being digitally bombarded. I don't know if anyone else here feels like they're the emoji of the head exploding. I feel like that sums most of us up these days, because information is just constantly being thrust at us.
It's quite interesting, Christy, because I'm a mum and I'm perimenopausal, so this kind of fits very into my life. But I find I've got a WhatsApp group for Emily's, like, gym. I've got a WhatsApp group for, like, school. I've got, so it's not necessarily that I'm always choosing to be on my phone. It's that I have to be on my phone. How do you feel we need to be more or less reliant? Like, what are some great tips that we can actually sort of, oh, more the point is that I don't want to shame myself because I have to be on my phone either.
Totally agree. And I think techno shame and techno guilt don't serve any of us. What we really have to do is, I think, create some digital borders and boundaries. We have to create our digital guardrails. So like you, I'm in way too many WhatsApp groups. So I have, not by choice either, might I also agree, but I have chosen to bundle or batch my notifications. So I get the WhatsApp notifications at a couple of times throughout the day rather than them dribbling in, because we often know they're just really redundant, you know, a thumbs up or someone having a side conversation. So with all notifications, the three golden rules I say is, one, turn off any non-essential, two, bundle or batch them. So choose what time or times of the day you actually want your notifications coming to you. And you can do that with just about every app and tool that we get notifications for. And the third one is to create VIP lists. So when you want to be focused, when you don't want to be digitally distracted, you can put your phone on focus mode or do not disturb mode, and everybody else gets blocked, excluding those people who are on that VIP list.
I'm on my family's VIP list. I feel very, very privileged to be there. Christy, one of the biggest issues we have is the effects of all this digital technology on a developing brain. You sit on a train and you listen to two young things having a chat, and it just does you, because, you know, what's happening in their lives is very important, that the whole carriage is entertained. But the level of conversation staggers me. Now, are we doing anything long-term to reduce the effect on the developing brain as far as conversation communication goes?
Look, I wish I could give you a solid answer, but as a researcher, I have to declare we are conducting a bit of a living experiment. We don't really know what the long-term effects are. From the preliminary research that we do have available, yes, we are absolutely seeing, particularly with young children and adolescents, changes in how they communicate. We're seeing children entering formal schooling. For example, we know with impaired expressive and receptive language skills, because they're not getting that ping-pong serve and return with adults that they used to get. They're often tapping, swiping and pinching on a screen. We know it's, you know, the cascading consequences of our young people spending time on a screen. It's not just their language, but we know their sleep, their opportunities to be physically active are all significantly being shaped by their digital dependence. And this has a huge impact on their mental health, and also on their physical health, and also on their developing brains.
And it's so true, Kirsty, because, I mean, so much of Emily's work is on a screen. I can't always kind of say to her, it feels a little bit ironic. I'm saying, get off your screen. But then everything she's doing is being drawn towards. How can we unplug and rest and relax? Like, what things can I say to her? And I don't want to be hypocritical because I'm also on my phone a lot. So give me some beautiful words that I can say to her that I can get her to rest and relax, and me too.
Yeah, so our brains are always scanning the environment and making cues from what we see. 10 million bits of data are processed through our eyes every second.
Wow.
So a really simple strategy, our brain processes 11 million bits per second, 10 million of those are just through our eyes. So a really simple strategy is when we don't want to pick up our phone or the tablet or the laptop, put it somewhere where you can't see it. A study from the University of Austin, Texas, told us that even if our phone was on silent and face down, if we could still see it, it dropped our cognitive performance by around 10%.
Wow.
Put bluntly, just seeing our phones can be a brain drain. So popping them away. As a family, coming up with your digital curfew, like what time in the night, and ideally it would be 60 minutes before we go to sleep, but when are we going to switch devices off? Creating a digital depot, like having an agreed spot, and it's hard for adults, I know, but an agreed spot where we put all our digital devices at night. The developing brain, in fact, all human brains have something called mirror neurons, and mirror neurons mean we are biologically wired to imitate and copy. So one of the best things adults can do, and the hardest thing, and I say this as a mum to three, is to be good digital role models ourselves.
It is such important advice. I think we can all learn something, especially since the pandemic, Kirsty, because our lives and our relationship with technology changed in that period so dramatically. It's almost like we need to relearn how to manage them, having relied on them so, so much. So we really appreciate your advice. And if anyone wants any information about your book and this topic, you can actually go to Dr. Kirsty Goodwin. com, and they can find out any further information. Is that right, Kirsty?
That's correct. I appreciate your help. Thank you.
Yeah, not a worry at all. Thank you so much for joining us.